Taking a look now at successful job hunting. What have you learned from job hunting experiences? Are you currently looking for a job? What questions might you have for our guest? Well, our guest is Paige Goldner, who is the managing director of the executive search branch of QTI Professional Staffing. She has a lot of experience in this area of job hunting. I have some experience myself. I've sat probably, I would think, over the years on maybe 100 committees for people who are applying for various jobs in a number of different departments. So I've had a little experience myself looking at resumes and cover letters and sitting through interviews. So maybe I can throw in a little of my own, too. But you may have some experiences to share, too, and I hope you do. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. Or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Go there, and a couple of people already have. So we'll be using those comments coming up as well. Paige, thank you for coming by.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here today.
We were just talking about the value of a college education, and many people called talking about, it's still tough to get a job out there. Is it not an impossible task?
It is not an impossible task. I think that you have to be prepared to fully focus on the job search and not rely necessarily on one method and employ lots of different methodologies, including building a strong network. That's still a great way to interact with people who may be in positions to hire you or refer you to others. But it is not an impossible task, maybe a little more challenging than 5 years ago, but not impossible.
And you work for both employers and job seekers. In this economy, a lot of people are needing to look for work pretty urgently. Mm-hmm. How has that changed the climate on both sides of the equation?
I think from the client perspective, I think what it has allowed is clients have the opportunity to be more selective and really hone in on a specific skill set within a candidate pool. I think that maybe has created challenges, certainly on the candidate side. If you tend to have a broader skill set in certain areas, being able to hone in and focus on those ideal skills for an employer. But I think the job market has changed. I think similar to that of a real estate market where you have maybe a greater degree of houses. I mean, in this economy, we have many more candidates out there who are looking, and thus clients have the opportunity to select from a larger pool. But again, that's not to say that it's insurmountable on the candidate's part. You just have to be a little more strategic in how you position yourself.
Yeah. Do you see generational differences in how people approach interviewing, for example? Let's take that. What can we learn from those older or younger than us, maybe?
Yeah, I do think we see generational differences. I think when you look at the younger generation, there tends to be a lot more focus on the use of social media tools. And I think that that's something that's becoming not only more prevalent in terms of how people look for jobs, but also in terms of how people approach identifying candidates for jobs. So, for example, LinkedIn, it's a great professional social networking site. And I think it has been an outgrowth of some of the sites like a Facebook or a MySpace that have kind of grown into the professional world. But I think it's beginning to span generations as people are becoming more and more aware of how technology can link them with more people, more opportunities.
There are a lot of different ways to look for a position. You mentioned networking, I think, is certainly important, word of mouth, probably. Mm-hmm. But what are some good resources that people should use, be sure to take advantage of?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think putting yourself in positions of meeting people is still one of the single best ways to find a job. And there are a number of ways to do that. I think the use of social media that we were just discussing, connecting with people on Facebook, is certainly, or rather LinkedIn. I would highly recommend that. But then carrying that one step further beyond just the connection there, actually having a face-to-face conversation. And during those conversations, asking for advice. People love to provide advice and insight, and sometimes it's as simple as asking, well, do you know of anyone that's hiring in this particular sector, in this particular profession? And then using that networking as a springboard to the next conversation.
Yeah.
Oftentimes I'm talking with folks who are in a job search, and I may not be recruiting anything at the moment that's a fit. But I'm always happy to make connections for people, because ultimately one leads to another leads to another. So I think that's still a great way. I think also putting oneself in situations where you are active in the community, and that can be through volunteer board service, just becoming active in the nonprofit community and giving back to your community. Number one, it's a good thing to do. But secondly, it opens up a broader network, maybe outside of what you typically would be involved in your day-to-day professional life. I think that is just an excellent way to begin your networking process.
I would wholeheartedly agree with that. And I'm thinking back to LinkedIn on the other side of it. I have, as a professor here, I've come across job possibilities, and I send those out to lists of alums and current students and that sort of thing. So I send probably a couple hundred jobs a week out to people. But because of LinkedIn, there will be sometimes a position will open up, and I will go back to my LinkedIn contacts, and there's a former student that I'm sure would be great for that position, and I'll just send him or her a note and say, oh, you really ought to apply for that job.
Yeah, I think it's people are willing to help. I think there's nothing better than asking for that and approaching it as if oftentimes approaching the job search as you would a full-time job, and beginning to expand the network, and also keeping track of what activities you have going on, so that you can circle back with those individuals. You also begin to develop really an overview or a pulse of what's happening in the market by kind of keeping track of things you're applying for, things you're seeing, conversations you're having, because it does begin to develop a momentum which you want.
Yes.
But then it becomes a bit of a need to make sure that you're on top of that, because then you may get a call about, well, you applied for this particular job 3 months ago, and you want to be able to recall
know
on that knowledge.
Crystal in Humbert, Wisconsin has a comment or question. Hi, Crystal.
Hi. I want to tell you about my job search. I am 74 years old, and I decided that I wanted to go back into home care. So I started watching our local Shopper. And pretty soon there was some in, like, for a dietary aid and for various things where you needed your certificate, which I don't have anymore. But anyway, I applied a whole lot of places, and some of them sent me the application. I would send it back in. Some I went and got the application and handed it back in. And then I would call them, like, every 2 weeks for about 3 or 4 times, and pretty soon, they started hiring me.
Oh.
And I have 3 jobs now.
Oh, that's a great story.
I have a morning home care job, and I have an afternoon home care job, and I also have, it's called a casual position at a assisted living place down in Black River Falls. And so I think persistence pays.
Oh, that's a great story, Crystal. Thank you so much. Comments, Paige?
Oh, I think your story is a fabulous one to share, because it goes back to our opening conversation here, that there are still opportunities out there, and persistence does pay off. Mm-hmm. And if you are persistent in a professional and appropriate manner, and don't just send the application or the resume and hope that they're going to call you, but also try to follow up. It's amazing how that follow up in a really professional manner really does make a difference. It separates you from other candidates. People still don't employ that, all employ that method. So congratulations, Crystal.
Thank
That's
you.
Excellent.
The person at the assisted living place told me she was glad that I kept calling. I said, well, so am I.
Thanks, Crystal. Thank you very much for calling. That's a wonderful, positive story. Jackie shot us a point on my Facebook page. Very timely topic. I will be losing my job soon. When I have interviewed for jobs in the past, I went into the meeting like I am interviewing them, too. Helps me to prepare better for the interview and ask better questions. Also, I find it helps to boost my confidence during the meeting. What do you think of that?
I think that raises a very good point. I think you should always go into an interview very well prepared. I think you should not only understand the organization very well, you should understand the position that you are interviewing for and your skills relative to their qualification and desired experience. And I think you should come prepared with questions for them, because it is an opportunity for you to consider whether or not it's a fit for you. Because ultimately, if you're not taking that into consideration and you take the first thing that may come along, you may very well find yourself in this position again in 6 months or a year because you're unhappy with the choice you've made. So as much as I know people may need a job immediately, it is still very important to consider all aspects of this and to really go in prepared to understand what the opportunity would mean for you as much as it is for them to understand what you can do for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Often the first step in an open position is a letter and a resume. And what advice do you have for job seekers in preparing that sort of thing?
I think a letter is important. I tend to appreciate a letter that is briefer and to the point in a cover letter, a couple paragraphs, maybe three, but not more than three. Yeah,
probably.
Not get too lengthy with that, because if you think about it from the reviewer's standpoint, they're receiving many of those letters. So something that can immediately draw attention in, I think, is very important in a cover letter. In terms of a resume, I view a resume much like a marketing tool. It is the piece that's going to hopefully demonstrate to the person reviewing it how your skills and background align with what they're looking for. So really, I tell people, tweak your resume, craft your resume for each position you may be applying for. I mean, there may be very few times that you have to make changes, but other times over the course of one's career, we do a lot of different things. And you want to draw out those specific contributions, oftentimes things that are quantifiable, so that really jumps off the paper at someone. I mean, there are different schools of thought on length of resume. I tend to prefer nothing over two pages. I think for people in highly technical positions, three is okay. Much beyond that, I think it becomes very cumbersome and somewhat too lengthy.
Paige Goldner, our guest today, Managing Director of the Executive Search Branch of QTI Professional Staffing, our guest. She'll be with us right up until 12:30 today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking about successful job hunting today with our guest, Paige Goldner, Managing Director of the Executive Search Branch of QTI Professional Staffing. If you want to know more about QTI, we have posted a link on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can go to that. Just click on it, and it'll take you right to QTI, and you can find out some more about it right there. If you have some questions about the job search, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And I should mention, before I forget about it, tomorrow at 7 on the Joy Cardine Show, they'll be talking about how businesses are monitoring their current or potential employees' online activities. That's something we might briefly touch on here, but the hour from 7 to 8 tomorrow morning will be associated with that. In the meantime, Richard in Wauwatosa, let's see here, I'm sorry, Tammy in Marinette, let's go there. Tammy, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry and Paige. Good afternoon. I have a question. I'm wanting to completely switch careers from nursing to manufacturing, and I've put in a resume. I've called them every Tuesday at 11 o'clock for the last 2 months, just, you know, keeping them in touch, and I still am interested, and I'm wondering if there's anything else I can do.
Can you tell me a little bit about the transfer of your skill set from nursing to manufacturing?
I'm worried that's the problem. I've never worked in a factory before ever. I know they work a lot with specialized tools, and I've gone on the internet. I've familiarized myself, and I did put that in my resume that, you know, the micrometers and the things that they use, done the study things online, and I've familiarized myself with it. And that's my worry, that because I don't have any actual factory experience, that there's no way I'm going to get in there.
Right. Well, I think, first of all, you've done a great job by trying to draw out some of your transferable skills from your nursing profession into the manufacturing world. I'm assuming that they are also in some sort of medical device manufacturing or something relevant to healthcare.
It's about engines.
Okay. But you have really given thought to those transferable skills, which I think is excellent. I think one of the things that I might suggest is, and you may have had this conversation with someone when you've called to follow up, but see if it might be possible for them to allow you to have just an informational interview. I don't know if you're speaking with someone in human resources.
HR, yep.
Yeah. And explain to them that you are looking to make that transition, and although it may not be perfect timing for them to make a hiring decision about you at this point, would they be willing to give you a half an hour of their time just to talk to you a little about what they might look for in terms of skill set?
Interview. I just feel like if I could get that, I would be good.
Do you know anyone that works in this organization?
I have friends in there. They've put in the words with people that are in position to get to the higher ups, and you know, I've done that for sure. And now I'm beginning to wonder, is one time a week too much for me to be calling? You know, am I now bothering them? You know, do I need to back off a little bit, or is my diligence a good thing, you know?
Right. No, I think persistence is a good thing. I mean, it's really hard to sort of say specifically how often. I guess my initial reaction might be maybe a little less frequent than one time a week. Maybe give, let a little time. Maybe let a little bit of time go by and circle back with them. Have you spoken with the same person each time, or are you each time? And what has their response? How have they responded to you?
Well, it's almost becoming as a funny little friendship between the two of us. You know, I call her every week, and right now she's on maternity leave, so I usually get her answering machine. But prior to that, you know, she's, "Hi, Tammy, nice to talk to you," you know, those kind of things. So it's the same person, and she knows I'm out there and I'm interested, and any position, any, you know, shift is fine. And so I just don't know what else more I can do. I do know that they're expanding their business. They're supposed to be starting a new building and new machines and everything this fall. So, okay, I'm beginning to wonder, okay, they've got the summer kids working. They're doing this maybe in the fall.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're on the right track.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's fabulous that you've built this relationship with this person. I mean, even if it is, "Hi, it's me. I'm calling to follow up," and that you can kind of have that level of rapport with them. I think that that's really important. They're going to remember you because of that, as opposed to sort of being aggressive about it. You're being politely persistent, and I think that that is a big distinguishing factor. I don't know, without sort of specifically knowing about the role, are there any types of technical programs or just even additional class that you might take that would put you in a position to be able to say that you have a specific skill set that they might use? And I'm not talking necessarily even a degree program, as maybe a certificate program or something along those lines.
Well, I know I test myself on the micrometer, you know, on the internet. I searched it, and there's, you know, things you can do, and they give you a set of problems to, you know, figure it out.
Solve. Yeah. So you've done a little of that, but you might also, I think, as Paige suggests, take a look at, are there courses at the local Votech school, especially because if there's some expansion, sometimes the businesses work with the tech schools on courses that could be helpful to that particular company. I know that happens a lot, to be perfectly honest. So you might want to be checking with the Votech schools, too, and and see if there are some courses that you might take. Good luck. You're doing everything, far as I'm concerned, about as well as can be, and certainly in Paige, as far as you're concerned, I think, too.
I think it's probably just a matter of time for you to have an opportunity with this organization, because people that are as actively engaged and interested in opportunity and willing to work any shift, as you said, those are the type of people that companies want to hire. So I think it's a matter of time.
Yeah, good luck. Thank you for calling. And Mila in Milwaukee, hi.
Hi. Good morning. I'm calling because I am in a particular situation coming up against the same scenario, not just myself, but other colleagues who are maybe applying for jobs either internally or externally for a job position that's been posted. And it seems like the human resources or the powers that be have already made a decision about who they're going to hire.
Okay,
so what recommendations or what advice can you give?
If there's an internal
candidate.
If there's an internal candidate, yeah.
And so are you describing a situation where you are the internal candidate, or you're external and there is another internal?
Both.
Okay.
And the reason the external that we, how we knew is that we knew we had friends who worked in the same company.
Yeah.
And so maybe it is anecdotal, and maybe it is just a coincidence that, that the person who got hired, was already inside and had been, there'd been just the rumor mill that, they were already originally pegged for the job.
Yeah, I think that there are things in life that are outside of our ability to influence or control. But that being said, I think putting yourself in a situation, if you are interested in a job and are given the opportunity to interview and interact with people in decision-making positions, I never feel like that is time misspent. You, first of all, can go into the situation where they may have maybe they have a decision in mind and you have the opportunity to change their mind. Secondly, if it does not come to fruition and you do not get the position, you have put yourself in a position to interact with people who are in a decision-making role, and they may see an opportunity to put you in another position. So I guess I would encourage you to still pursue those opportunities, because you really never quite know what the outcome will be. I'd say go in and put your best foot forward, be as prepared as possible, make that great impression, and try not to give sort of a lot of thought to some of the politics, I guess, is what you're describing. I would take that out of the equation and try to develop a strong relationship with the person you're meeting with.
I'm thinking of two specific individuals who applied for positions at different times with different companies, and I got callbacks from the people who were hiring saying, he or she, and both, once it was a he and once a she, they're really not, they'd be good for this job, but we've got another position that I think they'd be better at. And in both cases, they were actually higher up positions. So.
Right.
So it doesn't hurt to get out there and apply, regardless of whether there's an internal candidate or not.
Right.
Bonnie in Mount Horeb emailed us to say, when you are on an interview and they ask you about supervisory experience with a disgruntled employee, how would you answer that when you have no supervisory experience? So somebody says, how do you deal with a disgruntled employee when you're supervising them and you haven't supervised?
Right. I think you have to maybe draw a little bit on either work experience. Let's say, for example, you were part of a team, a project team, and things were not always in alignment and people were not always in agreement. Maybe how did you step in and become a leader in that situation and navigate that and lead by influence rather than by authority? I think there are also situations that we come across in our daily life where we may have to deal with difficult people that we do not supervise or have authority over, but you are drawing on your interpersonal skills to manage and navigate that situation and kind of bring people to agreement. So I think you need to be honest that you haven't had supervisory experience, but talk about how you might approach that situation and maybe try to draw in a real world example or a story. People love to hear stories and examples, and use that as a stepping stone to sort of prove that you have the skills and abilities to do it.
I had a Facebook comment from Professional Direction LLC. As a career coach and resume writer, one thing I'm always encouraging my clients to do is think about what the employer's needs are. What problems do they have that the job seeker's expertise can solve? Job seekers have to prove that they will produce or save more than they cost to be an employee. And they would love to hear what you have you talk about, how keeping the viewpoint of the employer in mind is essential for job search success.
I think that is excellent advice and something that as you're putting together a resume and creating that marketing piece, branding piece about you, that you really take some time to sit down and learn a little bit more about the organization and maybe even more about the organization relative to where they are positioned within their particular sector, as well as some of the specific things that they're looking for in a job. And I encourage people to really take some time to reflect on your experience relative to those needs, to try to have some quantifiable results or really targeted information, as this poster indicated, that can show how you will contribute specifically in the role. Employers will look for that. And I think it also helps prepares you better for an interview when you are asked to give examples, specific examples of times when you have done X, Y, and Z, you're then readily able to draw upon that exercise and reflection of your career.
Richard in Wauwatosa, will give you a chance now. Thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you.
I was just thinking about switching industries. I mean, not me specifically, but switching industries in general. I've done it a few times. And I've noticed that sometimes when you switch industries and you're looking to get some new experience, a lot of times you have to move vertically lower, you know, on the probably pay grade scale, and, you know, even just start from whatever beginning position they may have for you. You know, I think of a restaurant as an example. If you want to be a cook, you know, go in and say you'll cut potatoes for a couple of years, you know, that kind of thing. And I know that's probably hard to do with people's, you know, real life expenses and mortgage payments and things like that. But I think that can be something that's you have to think about when you're switching industries, that you're going to have to start kind of from the ground up.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's excellent advice. And I think having the longer range view of what you hope to attain by switching careers, you make an excellent point. I mean, we all have obligations financially and to sort of take a step back from where you are. I won't diminish that that's a difficult thing to do. But if what you're pursuing is something that you feel will fulfill you in the long run, I think it's worth the opportunity and maybe some of the sacrifice to take a lower level position or a lower paying position that ultimately points your career in the direction that you want to take. I have seen that done a number of times, and people are the happier and the better and more fulfilled for it on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Richard, for calling. By the way, if you'd like to join in with a question or comment, reach us at 1-800-642-1234. We have open lines to get you on pretty quickly. 1-800-642-1234. I got a Facebook comment from Jessica. You're mentioning how follow-up is so important to the job search. I agree with you. How do you follow up when the only way to apply for the job is online with no phone number or email contact to follow up?
and this is following up after sending a resume rather than interviewing, I think it's going to take a little research. I think finding out who, for example, might be in a position of human resources, potentially who might be the president or CEO of the company, making sure that you can find out who may be best to receive that letter. Now, I don't know if this would be sometimes ads are blind. You don't know who the company is. And in that case, that's a little difficult to find out. But I think yet again is another opportunity to separate yourself from other applicants by sending that letter. And I do think thank you letters, notes are still a very important thing to do.
Yeah, I would agree. Facebook comment from Nancy. My daughter graduated with honors from Carleton College in Minnesota, then moved to San Francisco. She finds most employers in California aren't familiar with Carleton, and many think it's a community college. Very frustrating. Is there a way that she can point out that Carleton is one of the top private schools in the country? How do you market your college to a prospective employer?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of the things that I recommend on a resume, and I recommend this also when you are listing the company that you work for, maybe you work for a very well-recognized organization, maybe you've graduated from a well-recognized university or college, or maybe it's not so well-known, have a little descriptor. She could even use what she posted here on Facebook, one of the top private colleges in the country, or whatever maybe their positioning statement is that they use as a college when they're marketing to prospective students. And just said, you can separate it a little bit by having it in italics or something along those lines. But I think, again, a resume is a marketing piece, and people need to know some specifics about organizations and sometimes colleges and universities.
Facebook comment from Jenny. I think it's extremely important to have someone look over your resume. There are free services or just someone you know who does hiring. I had a boss who rejected many resumes and did no interviews with candidates who had errors in their resumes.
Yeah, very, very important not to have errors in your resume. I would definitely have at least several people look it over. To self-edit something like that is quite difficult. You're too close to it. I think formatting along with, of course, punctuation and spelling is very important. But it's also a visual document, and I tend to prefer resumes that are very visually appealing as opposed to, say, one long paragraph. So having someone take a look at it from that perspective, too, because a resume will probably be skimmed initially, and then people will go back and take a look at it in deeper detail. So there are a number of ways someone should edit and or critique a resume.
And Sue in Wausau, we turn to you. Hi, Sue. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I have a question regarding professional resume writers. Are they worth the cost, or can you just trust that you're going to do a good enough job, and if you do have people look it over, that's sufficient?
I guess my response to whether they're worth the cost, it's hard for me to know what the I really don't have a frame of reference on the expense of a professional resume writer. I do think that if you can draw upon the skills and expertise of a friend who may be professionally involved with human resources, maybe in the position, like you said, Larry, where you've looked at a lot of resumes and been in a hiring position, I think that input is possibly just as valuable as paying for someone to do that for you. There's also there are a tremendous number of resources, both at a bookstore via Amazon or through sites like Career Builder or Monster, that can give you advice on resume writing. I think that could get you quite far without having to pay someone to do that for you.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you for calling. And Melissa in Eau Claire, I think, is next. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I actually am an employer, and I just did a job fair this morning trying to hire people. And I guess what I run into with prospective employees is Do we advertise the shifts and the dates, and they don't want to be available for that, or they show up for interviews looking like they just rolled out of bed or with a very poorly written resume. So that attention to detail and actually reading the job description is really, really important when someone is looking for a job.
Very good points. Wouldn't you say, Paige?
Absolutely. Again, it's anything that you can do as an applicant and a job seeker to separate yourself from the group. And it's amazing how the things that we're discussing today, having a well-written, edited, error-free resume, being well-prepared for the meeting, being dressed appropriately, those seem to maybe some like small things, but they are huge and significant, and employers notice them. And in a competitive job market, I think you have to make sure you pull out all the stops.
I can say I've had an opportunity to serve on committees where the positions were communications-oriented positions. And if you have 150 or 175 resumes to look through and cover letters, and I frankly, if there's a misspelling or there's a grammatical error, I just set those aside because I've got so many to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really, really important. Oh, we had so many more good questions and no time.
Oh, no.
Paige, thank you so much. I hope we can do this again.
Yeah, this was great fun. So thank you so much.
Paige Goldner is the Managing Director of the Executive Search Branch of QTI Professional Staffing. And again, I'm very sorry we didn't get to everybody, but that's kind of the way it works around here sometimes. We'll have her back. We'll do it again. Tomorrow it's Garden Talk. Shelley Ryan, host of the Wisconsin Gardener, will be my guest. Stay with us.